Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McCallum. Brylan Rakes is not your average dancer. The legally blind 17-year-old has faced many challenges to become talented. One of these challenges is suffering from nystagmus and cone dystrophy. Medline Plus says that nystagmus is the fast, uncontrollable movements of the eye. The University of Michigan Kellogg Eye Center mentions that cone dystrophy is a group of retinal disorders leading to decreased central vision, reduced color vision, and sensitivity to bright light. Having nystagmus and cone dystrophy hasn't stopped 17-year-old Brylan from pursuing her dreams. In fact, Brylan was just accepted into the Fordham University Alvin Alley American Dance Theater BFA program. And Brylan just appeared on ABC's Dancing with the Stars earlier this year. She performed with American dancer and choreographer Derek Huff. Now Brylan comes to Speaking Out for the Blind to talk about her challenges and triumphs. Hello, Brylan.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm very good. So let's first talk about your vision. According to your bio on ABC's Dancing with the Stars website, your mother noticed that your eyes were shaking when you were just 2 months old. After you received an MRI, you were diagnosed with cone dystrophy and nystagmus. And I understand that a neurological birth defect caused you to have these two eye diseases. What is that neurological birth defect?
Basically, Brian, the problem is that the structure of my eyes is great, but the messages from my brain to the muscles in my eyes aren't working. So the structure is good, but my brain just doesn't tell my eyes to filter out the light, which is cone dystrophy, and also to stop the shaking from happening, which is nystagmus.
The wiring from the brain to your eyes is the cause of your nystagmus, and your eyes shake. What do you exactly see when your eyes shake?
I see the objects and everyday life that everyone else sees. It's just everything is slightly moving back and forth. This image, to me, is very blurry, and it's never clear, and it's never still.
I see. So you also have cone dystrophy, where your eyes don't filter out light in the ways that normal eyes would. Everything is just 20 times brighter, and you can't see past 10 feet. Explain to me what you exactly see with cone dystrophy.
Without my tinted contact lenses or sunglasses, light is overwhelming. I can't really see anything when I go outside in bright sunlight. It's just overwhelming brightness. It's like white light shooting at me, which is very hard to see past.
Now, we got to talk about your introduction to this whole world of dance here. You started your first dance lesson when you were just 8 years old. Why did you start taking dance lessons?
All of my older sisters took dance, and since I couldn't go outside and play sports like everyone else, we tried to find something I could do as an extracurricular activity. And so I took to dance really well. I started in a little song and dance musical theater group that all of my sisters had done. And my oldest sister, Brenna, saw potential in me. So that's when we started at a real dance studio where I took all styles of dance when I was younger. Ballet, jazz, tap, modern, jazz. So that's when I first started, and my oldest sister saw a lot of potential in me, so I continued.
So your older sister started dance, and then you just jumped right in. Tell me briefly about one of the first dance moves you learned. I understand that it was very hard to learn, and it took a lot of time, and yes, a lot of frustration, to learn this one move. Tell me about that move.
This move that I struggled with was a pirouette. And a pirouette is basically a turn on one leg, many rotations around, as many as you can stay up on your foot to do. And this is extremely hard for me because as a dancer, I struggle with my balance. So standing on one leg for a long period of time seemed completely impossible for an 8-year-old like me who couldn't even see. So I would cry, throw temper tantrums, and really struggle to get this one turn to stand on one leg and rotate around like all my friends were doing. So I really, really, really practiced over and over to get this turn. I would stay up late with my older sisters and practice. And finally, after training and really like forcing myself to practice over and over, I finally got it after my first year of dance.
So this was like a lot like playing the piano where you had to just practice pressing the right keys and hitting the right notes at the same time. I'm sure it took forever.
Yeah, it's getting your balance on one leg, holding your arms in the right place, spotting with your eyes and with your head, which I can't do. So instead of spotting with my eyes, I usually spot with my shoulders and my core. And so, yeah, it was definitely the hardest thing at my age to do.
So I understand that not only your sisters inspired you to dance, but that your father, Michael Rakes, who just passed away last April, inspired you to take dance lessons. His advice to you was that you could do anything you wanted, even though you were legally blind. How did you follow your father's advice when pursuing work in the dancing field?
Well, I learned a lot from him, and his main things were passion and perseverance, and he lived those qualities every day in his work. He was a very successful businessman, and so I learned a lot from that, and I take that with me wherever I am in dancing, is never giving up and perseverance, no matter what obstacles. He grew up in a farm, on a farm in Arkansas, with these dreams of being in California and being successful, and he pursued that. And so a lot of odds were against him, and a lot of odds are against me with my visual problems. And so I just take that from him, take his lessons of perseverance and how special I am, and I just run with it, and I never give up in anything that I'm doing.
I want to ask you briefly about your father's passing, Michael Rakes. He just died on April 29th from a ruptured aorta in his heart during surgery. Tell me more about that event.
Well, my dad has suffered a lot throughout the years with different types of cancer in his lungs, and many things were going wrong with him, and we never thought a ruptured aorta would take him. So it was a big shock to our entire family. But I'm just trying to get through the process and keep moving because I'm about to graduate high school. I'm just really trying to stay focused and positive about next year at Fordham University in Manhattan. I couldn't be more thrilled about it. Actually, I got taken off the waiting list hours after my dad's passing. So I honestly feel something magical happened up there in heaven. And he was able to help me out and get me into my dream school. So I'm very honored and excited for next year. So it's hard for me to be very upset at this like hard time in my life because I have a great future ahead of me.
Let's get back into your dance moves here. That first turn you learned, how might our audience members learn this move?
It's hard, but it's also easy. I would say just for the audience to try to balance on one leg. And then slowly, after you've conquered that, you can balance for like a whole minute on one leg. Try to stand on your toes and balance on one leg. Those are the first steps. And then once you've conquered that, then you try to spin either clockwise. Because in dance, you can spin clockwise or counterclockwise. And rotate on one leg and just try to see how many times you can rotate around with that balance and that lift up to the ceiling. And that's a pirouette turn.
Interesting. Let me tell our audience first, there's been some echo that's coming through the sound today since we're talking by cell phone, so just bear with us, folks. So, Brylin, you study many different styles of dance, but three of them you studied are quite interesting. Modern, contemporary, and, yes, ballet. What are the differences between these three styles of dancing?
Okay, so first I'll start with ballet. Ballet is very graceful, effortless, light, and magical. We wear point shoes, we wear a sparkly tutu, and we tell stories of, like, love and drama. And it's just very dramatic and very old-fashioned, but in the best way. It's all the ballets encompass love and passion. Now, modern is quite different. We usually are bare feet, very earthy, also dramatic, but in a completely different form. It's definitely more hard-hitting and into the ground. There's a lot of rolls on the floor, and it contrasts ballet very much. And so I'm very happy that I get to experience both. Now, contemporary is a mix of both. It's flowy, but sometimes there's sharp edges. There's a lot of ballet technique and ballet effortlessness with modern aspects as well, just of being into the floor and also going on the ground. So contemporary, I would say, is a mix of both classical, beautiful ballet and earthy modern.
What are some of the moves that you've learned from these three styles of dancing? And how might our listeners, young and old, interested in dance, practice them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So within these styles, I have learned so many different types of jumps, whether these jumps be small and petite and really fast, or large and my legs are spread open and I'm flying through the air. You can practice that by just jumping around and figuring out, if you go on YouTube and watch ballerinas do, it's called petit allegro. Those are really small, fast jumps. And there's also really big, grand jetés, as they call it in French.
Petit allegro. I'll have to watch that, but continue.
And then there's also many types of extensions where your legs are really, really high up in the air, either to the front, to the side, or to the back. And I use extensions in everything that I do in dance. They're really important. You have to, if the listeners want to try that, they can start by stretching out their hamstrings, by that touching your toes stretch, doing all kinds of stretches. Eventually, they should be able to do the splits in every direction. Those are all things that help you get really good extensions to the front and to the side and to the back. In dance, we kick our legs up in all of those directions, and it's really pleasing to the eye. The hardest thing for me in dance is turning, and that's a really big part. There's chaîne turns, there's pirouettes, there's piqué turns, and all of these turns require perfect balance on one leg and on both legs on your toes. And so to practice, to get good at turns, you really have to get a good balance and be comfortable standing on your toes for long periods of time.
Interesting. You've mentioned that you've learned certain tricks that even help you dance. For instance, you keep your balance when turning your eyes to the side and use your peripheral vision.
Yes.
How did this trick help you do a specific dance turn or move?
You really want the audience to see your lines that you're creating. And so when you have good balance, and to get my good balance, I use my peripheral vision because that's when my nystagmus calms down and my eyes stop shaking. So when I use my peripheral vision, I can balance seconds longer in my positions without using, like, I can balance much longer in my positions when I use my peripheral vision. And that then leads into better turns because when I can balance on one leg longer, I can spin around three or four times rather than one time around. So it just makes everything a little bit more clear and makes me more stable when I'm on stage and when I'm in class and audition.
Another trick you've learned is, like in a puppet show, is just to imagine strings holding you up from the ceiling to keep your position. Mm-hmm. Explain this trick to our audience.
So this is something I learned, and it's more of a feeling that you're feeling like someone is pulling the top of your head up. And this is really helpful to me because it just stabilizes my core. And when you're thinking about these images of going up and someone pulling a string from the top of your head and then the top of your shoulders up, it just makes you stable and it gives you a really strong core and a lifted body. So you look really lifted and you don't look slumpy and tired. Because in dance, in ballet, we want to look lighter than air, and this quality and this feeling really helps me do that.
Yeah, and it makes for a good workout, too. So,
yeah.
So, final dancing trick that you follow is relying on your other senses, such as hearing. How does following this trick help you so tremendously in your dancing?
I think having advanced hearing really helps me because I have a really good musicality. And musicality is just understanding little hints in music and matching that with your dancing. So I have a really good sense of that. I'm always listening to the details within the music and how I can match them through my dancing. I also really am a good listener. So when teachers give me corrections, I immediately listen for them. And most people are really inside their heads and looking in the mirror and trying to correct themselves. But I really rely on my senses and the way I feel things, and also what I'm hearing the teacher say in class to help me.
What are some of the other dancing tricks you've learned? Any others?
Yeah, I've really become aware of every muscle in my body, so I can analyze like which muscle I'm using for each dance step. And that takes a lot of process, like just standing there and trying to feel individual muscles and what they're doing to help you dance is something that I've practiced a lot. And it's really helped me because instead of using my eyes to look at my positions in the mirror, I use my body and my brain and all my senses to feel the muscles and to feel the position.
So as you accepted your visual impairment, your dance artistry and techniques, they greatly improved to the point where you participated in these live performances and that hard work paid off. Your website, I'm going to read it here to our listeners, www.brylanhoperakes.com. That's your full name. And it's spelled BRYLYNNHOPERAKES. www.brylanhoperakes.com. That website says that you won first place in the 2011 Youth America Grand Prix Regional Competition in San Diego. What was your experience participating and winning this exciting contest?
That was one of the best moments so far in my dancing career. I performed a solo that was very close to my heart, and it required a lot of emotion on my part. And so I pulled from so many different struggles that I had gone through before that in dance training and just how frustrated I had become. And I pulled from all those emotions into my piece, and so many people came up to me and said that I emotionally touched them. And so that was why that was such a good experience. Not only because I won first, my solo scored higher than anybody else's, because that's an amazing feat as well that I accomplished, but also that I emotionally touched the audience, just normal people coming in to watch the competition. They felt something, and a couple people cried, and so that was what made that experience stand out so much, and I'll never forget that experience. It was amazing.
What are the numbers that you have to get to win those competitions? Do they rate you 1 to 10, 1 to 100? How do they do it?
Your scores have to exceed a 95 or above average. So there's 4 judges, and they each give you a score from 1 to 100, basically. And so your score has to exceed 95. The average of all your judges' scores has to exceed 95 in your classical pieces, your classical ballet pieces. And so I was able to do that, and I was very excited.
So you became famous on the national level when you performed with Derek Hough on ABC's Dancing with the Stars just last April. Over 13 million viewers saw that performance. How did it feel to just perform and gain recognition on national TV and inspire future blind dancers?
That was the highlight of my dance career thus far. It was the most fulfilling experience to be able to share my story with that many people, because I've always wanted to share my story and inspire people who think they can't do something, but they really can. And it was just so amazing. It was a dream come true to dance on that show and just pour my heart out and let everyone know my story. I couldn't have asked for a greater experience.
When I studied broadcasting and theater at San Francisco State University, I learned from some very highly respected people in these two fields. Tell us about your dance teachers and directors and just how they have, back then and now, inspired you to pursue your dreams.
Well, all my teachers have had amazing dance careers at some of the most prestigious companies and universities in the world. And so just having their expertise and having their time to train me is something that inspired me, and I just appreciate them so much. They spend so much time and energy helping me understand my body and the art of dance. They have so much passion for dance, and they care about it so much that just makes me do the same. And their careers give me hope and give me the strength to say you can have that career just like them if you work hard and take their advice. There's nothing like good correction from a teacher that has had a fruitful dance career and that knows the business. And so I take everything my teachers give me in every class and try to apply it to myself as soon as possible so that someday I can reach their level, which is above and beyond, and because they've had such amazing dance careers.
Speaking of prestige, you studied in summer of 2012 at the Juilliard School in New York. It's a prestigious school. And how did that school also prepare you for a future dancing career?
That summer intensive was an amazing experience. They opened my eyes to so many new methods that I hadn't learned for creating a strong core and for the perfect balance. And they just taught me so much about my body, and they exposed me to so many different types of choreography and dance styles. They really made me a well-rounded dancer, which is what the dance industry today is calling for.
But I'm sure their listeners are wondering, with all of this practice dancing and all of these upcoming pursuits you have, and even taking out the time to interview with me, I'm sure their listeners are wondering how you balance this time for family, friends, and all the leisure pursuits on top of your dance and educational studies and practice. How do you achieve this balance of work and leisure time as a blind dancer?
I definitely have to prioritize my time and realize what's important in my life. I have to balance time for homework and plenty of time for dance training and a little bit of time to just relax and sit in front of the TV and just relax my body because I'm so busy. I also have to sacrifice a lot of what normal teenagers would do. I haven't really had a very normal high school experience. I go to an independent study school. So most of my time is spent dancing and spending time with family. So I've had to prioritize and sacrifice a lot to make my dreams come true.
Since your primetime TV performance, you have spoken to groups, including students from Live Oak Middle School in Tulare, California, which is a suburb of Fresno, about your dancing career. What advice have you offered them about pursuing their dreams that maybe some of our listeners out there can use?
I basically instilled into them about finding a passion early in life. Find what you're interested in and go for it. Stay out of the high school and the middle school drama and what you think is important when you're that young. You need to find your passion and shoot for your goals at a really young age and never give up on those, because that's truly what you want to do. I told them to never give up on your goals and your dreams. Like, if you have obstacles and you're afraid and you think these obstacles are going to hold you back, to never let that get you down, because anything is possible if you put your mind to it and you're very passionate about it and you work hard at it and you're determined and you want to persevere more than anything else.
And even this means if your parents go up to you and say I'm the father, and I go up to my son and say, son, I really think you should become a doctor. And I mean, it doesn't mean don't listen to your parents, but just really...
Follow your heart. Because you want to do what makes you happy, and I have so many obstacles that I have to overcome every day, but it just makes me a stronger person. It makes me that much more determined when people don't expect me to do things, and I put my mind there, and I accomplish them, and it's a dream come true to be able to even share this stuff with you today.
So you're going to be going to college in the fall, and what are some of your other future plans in dancing and life?
Well, during college, I would love to be a part of Alvin Ailey 2, which is the second company to one of the world's greatest dance companies, Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. That's a really big goal of mine. I would love to be part of that company. I would also love to be a professional choreographer, a professional educator in dance after I get my degree. I would love to do inspirational speaking and traveling, being a spokesperson for anybody who's disabled, who has a dream. I would love to write my own book. But just those to name a few.
So how can our listeners check out your websites, see your future performances, and contact you?
Oh, everyone, all the viewers, please follow me on Instagram. My name is just simply Brylin Rake. BRILYNNRAKES. Add me on Facebook. I accept all my friends. You can follow me on Twitter and visit my website, BrylinHopeRakes.com.
So is there anything else that you'd like to add before we're out of time?
The listeners, you can, I don't know if I mentioned Instagram, but I love posting pictures of my daily life and my dance accomplishments on Instagram, so you can also follow me on that. Okay, and that's all, and thank you so much for this amazing opportunity to speak to you guys, and never give up on your dreams, and always fight for what you want in life, because you can achieve it and you can get it.
Well, definitely, and the information that you provided on today's show might just inspire some of our listeners to become the next star dancers. So thanks for joining us again, Brylin.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
You are listening to American Council for the Blind Radio.
By the blind, for the world.